Hi, my love. I hope you're enjoying Manifest Daily, whether this is your second or your 22nd episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. And if you really love the show, I would appreciate it if you could do me a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It really helps the show grow and reach more listeners like yourself. And like I said, I would be super grateful for you to leave that 5-star review. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this amazing and growing podcast community. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Hello, my loves. Welcome to Manifest Daily. My name is DeAndre Nicolette. If you're new here, my love, I am the host of the podcast. And if you're not new, welcome back to another episode of your fave. This is another re-released episode because if you haven't picked it up by now, I'm doing a ton of re-released episodes. As I'm in this season and chapter of navigating what it is I'm doing with the podcast and whether or not it's aligned for me to continue doing the podcast. So that's kind of where we're at. But I wanted to do an intro to the intro because I was going to get this episode ready to go up and I was listening back to the intro of it. And I remembered that this particular episode, I actually recorded the day that I went through my breakup. And it's insane because I don't think I ever disclosed that in the episode when I was talking to Joy, because we're chatting with Joy of Numerology, and this is a numerology episode. And I know you guys are gonna love this one because when I first released it, you guys loved it. So we're gonna bring it back, okay? But I don't think I ever disclosed it, but I was listening to the intro and it's crazy because I was like, just thinking about how far I've come since that particular episode was recorded and edited and posted, and just thinking about how far I've come in this year alone. So I don't know. I feel like I had a message up there somewhere about just taking each day by day, and realizing that even if you're going through something right now, you know, the cliche saying goes, this too shall pass, but it's so true because I remember being so broken and so like in so much pain in that particular episode as I was recording. But I don't know, maybe you can tell energetically. And the reason that I actually remembered what happened is because as I was listening to the intro, I was like, oh my God, why do I sound so sad? Like I could feel it energetically that I sounded really off and I just wasn't myself. And I was like, oh yeah, that's because I literally like broke up with my boyfriend that day. So that's what was happening. But I hope you guys enjoy the episode nonetheless, because it really is a beautiful one. We talk all about numerology. We talk specifically about how to understand what your personal year means and what your personal year is and the energy that it holds for you. We talk about the numerology of 2024 a bit. We just talk a lot about understanding numbers and going beyond the traditional, or maybe not traditional, but the popularized and cliche angel numbers and 111 and 222. And we go a little bit deeper into what the numbers mean and the energy of the numbers. And it's a really, really fascinating episode. So I hope you enjoy it. One other thing I want to mention is that I am hosting an astrology workshop in Dallas and DFW. So if you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you are free on April 27th at 11:30 a.m. It's going to be 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. I would love to see you at the workshop. I will link the Eventbrite in the show notes so you guys can check it out if you feel so inclined. And I don't know, I just felt really called to it. I know I used to do the energy reports on the show. I haven't done them in a minute, but I found myself feeling really drawn to and called to and excited about hosting a workshop where we can have some light bites and snacks together, some coffees, because I'm hosting this at a coffee shop, and we can literally just chat all about astrology. We're going to be diving into your big six, and we're going to also specifically be looking at Venus and what it means to have Venus in a specific sign, in a specific house in your chart, what it means for how you show up in relationships, what you need to feel nurtured and cared for and loved in relationships. And if you are single, where you may find your next partner, your next person, or the person for you. And if you are partnered, it's still going to be a fantastic workshop because we are going over, like I said, big six, we're going over Venus, and we're going over a couple other things as well, house systems, houses, just like the very basics. You'll walk away with a workbook. I'm making a deck. You guys know it's a whole thing. So yeah, I'll put it in the show notes. If you or not in DFW, but you know someone who is that would be interested in this workshop, please feel free to share it with them. It's the first like workshop live thing that I'm doing in DFW on my own. And so I'm really nervous about it, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put it out there and hope that it does okay. So yeah, but I will leave you guys with that. Thank you so much for listening. I will keep you updated on the podcast journey and what I decide to do. But for now, thank you for listening to these re-released episodes and supporting me in this way, sharing them, still commenting, still reviewing the show, because I very much appreciate it. And it is helping me kind of figure out what it is that I want and what it is that feels aligned in this next chapter. But anyways, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode with Joy of Numerology. Hi, my loves. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Deandra Nicolette. If you're new here, my love, welcome. I'm super excited to have you tuned in for your first ever episode of Manifest Daily. And of course, to my OG listeners, you already know the vibes. Okay. Hey, girl. Hey. Hey, boy. Hey, what's poppin'? What's good? Welcome back to another episode of your fave. My loves, have you ever asked yourself what a certain number means or why certain angel numbers have certain meanings? Have you ever been curious about the theme of your year and wondered why some years were filled with more challenges while others seemed to just be a lot more flowy? In today's episode, I'm sitting down and chatting with Joy Woodward, the expert numerologist behind the Joy of Numerology. Joy's journey from the corporate world into the spiritual world has been led by numbers. Over 10 years ago, Joy began studying Pythagorean numerology and realized just how accurate numbers were for predicting themes and experiences in her life, as well as the lives of others. Joy discovered her gift. After being pushed by the universe and encouraged by her husband, she started the Joy of Numerology, a business designed to help others learn how to use numbers to lead them along the most aligned paths in their lives. Today, I'm sitting down with Joy to talk all things numbers, and we are going to discuss how you can use numbers to manifest and live your very best life. Grab yourself a beverage, a snack, and let's go ahead and dive into today's episode with Joy from the Joy of Numerology. Hi, Joy. Welcome to Manifest Daily. How are you doing today?
I'm so fabulous. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to have this conversation.
Of course, I'm super excited to have you here on the show. Well, let's just go ahead and dive into the conversation because I'm super, super, super excited for this one. First of all, before we dive into the actual juicy tidbits of numerology, let's do a little bit of an intro. Can you tell us about who you are, what you do, and what brought you into this line of work?
Absolutely. I am an expert numerologist. I've been practicing as a professional for almost 15 years. I am a recovering corporate climber. I was an executive for a long time. And I'm also the best-selling author of A Beginner's Guide to Numerology, which is in about 15 languages, I think it's been translated into now. So I'm very passionate about getting numerology right and sort of preserving that sacred science. There's a lot of TikTok numerologists out there. They hear something, they repeat it. It's not always accurate, but I'm really passionate about getting the right information out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm super excited about today, because I know that like angel numbers are really hot right now. Numerology and other senses is hot right now. And especially as you talk about like TikTok and the misinformation that's spread. That's why I love having experts on the show to like get to the nitty gritty. Let's actually talk about it and let's dive in and let's give people the right information as a resource, right? So first of all, how did you even get into numerology? Because you mentioned having this corporate background, and I'm always so interested how a lot of like the people that come on the show go from corporate and 9-to-5 life to doing something so like magical and completely different than that world.
Yeah, absolutely. That was almost 15 years ago, before it was trendy to quit your day job and become a spiritual soulpreneur. But here I am. I had a reading and it intrigued me and I was fascinated. And I left that reading and I went straight to the bookstore and because that's where we used to get books. And I, dived in. And since then, I mean, I took a lot of training. I had some fabulous mentors. I realized that the original reading I had maybe wasn't as awesome as I thought at the time, but it was enough to really, propel me in this direction. At no point did I think, wow, this can be my new career. The universe had other plans and I was redirected and I fought it. And, I tried staying in corporate and having a whole, second life in corporate. And the universe just went, no, not for you. I got fired. And then I dove even deeper into numerology. Here we are.
Yeah. I feel like there are so many stories too of entrepreneurs who either they got fired or they were laid off, just something that gave them that push off the cliff when they were right at the edge, but didn't have the courage necessarily to dive in. It was like, okay, well, flick, here's your push. You're going to be diving in now. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot. Like, it was intense. And like I said, this was 15 years ago. It wasn't trendy then.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm sure that was incredibly scary because at least now we've seen so many people do it and we're seeing so many people do it. So there are a ton of resources if that's the path you want to take. But 15 years ago, it's like, what resources did you have or who could you look to for, I guess, the next steps? It was sort of like you had to carve that own path for yourself, right?
I really did. There were numerologists out there, but not nearly as many. But it was easier to find people who were really good at it because there wasn't this saturation of people looking things up on the internet and going, I can write a book now. I didn't realize until I wrote my own book how many spiritual, metaphysical type books, whether it's astrology or numerology, are actually written by copywriters. They're not written by
astrologists
or even astrologers sometimes. So you really have to do your research. So before you even, decide to hit buy now on a website, quickly Google the authors, see if they are an expert in their field.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Did not know that, but that is literally such a good tidbit to take away.
Authors get really obsessive sometimes. You watch your book and where is it and how many am I selling and what's happening? And when a new book would come out, you'd look it up. Oh, who's this? I haven't heard of this numerologist. I haven't heard of them because they're not a numerologist.
That kind of brings us into a really good segue here. What actually is numerology? Because I don't know, like you hear all the things. Give us the actual definition of what is numerology.
All right. So numerology is the sacred science of numbers. It is where art and math meet. It's magical. It goes back to 500 BC, brought to us by Pythagoras. He's sort of the godfather of numerology. He's the one who also traumatized a lot of people with grade 10 math and algebra and the triangles.
Yeah.
He's also credited with the musical spheres and the 8-octave scale. So he was quite a magical man. What we know about him is part myth, part storytelling. He had a school back in Greece. And like I said, we're going back to 500 BC and it burnt down to the ground. And so a lot of that information was lost. And so, but it goes back that far and his original teachings still hold true. So that's what I ground myself in and I use as my checkpoint. It's my foundation. I go right back. And I don't think something that old is broken or needs to be reinvented.
Yeah. It's so interesting as you bring up like math. And as you were saying, I was thinking of like the Pythagorean theorem. Do you remember that? Like, I don't even know what it is at this point, but my God.
I almost failed grade 10 math. Like I was horrible.
Oh no.
And had they taught numerology, I'm sure I could have rocked that class. But I remember sitting in the exam, it was multiple choice, and none of the answers I was coming up with were choices. So it was, I guess I was using my intuition then. Picking answers.
What's the vibe of B versus C?
Yeah. Well, and I was 16. I wasn't super in tune. I didn't I wasn't super in touch with my gifts yet. I grew up in a really religious home. And so anything that wasn't, you know, sort of taught to you in Sunday school, like tarot or astrology, was evil, hocus pocus. So I've had quite the departure.
Yeah. So interesting too that you mentioned astrology, because I think when I think of numerology, or actually when I think of astrology, I think of, you know, this sort of like age old science that we are now seeing have this like resurgence in the culture today, you know, people talking about astrology. And I hate when people dumb it down to very simple things, because of course we know there's so much to astrology. But when it comes to numerology, are there ways that they can work together? Because it's almost like you see this division of some of these things, but when you kind of look at them all together, because I know when I look at like human design, like you see how astrology comes into play there. Is it similar with numerology?
It truly is complementary. I rarely, if ever, find it contradicting each other. But what it does is give you a whole new angle. So one way I describe it is if astrology shows you the front of someone's face, numerology can show you the back of their head and their side profile. Right. So you just get so much more information, but they really do complement each other. So, for example, if you were going through your Saturn return and you then added to your, you know, your numerology profile in and said, okay, I'm in my Saturn return and I'm in a 8-9-1 personal year cycle for the next 3 years, you can look at that Saturn return and go, this is what I'm really going to be focused on. This is what Saturn wants to teach me about. And you can use those to move so gracefully through the energy instead of fighting it or being ignorant to it until you get slapped around a little bit.
Yeah. I sort of see them all as like, you know how you take the different personality tests and it's sort of like, okay, you learn this part of yourself and then this part, and you kind of can put them all together and get that holistic view, which is exactly what you just described. So also the scenario you described is what I'm going through, Saturn return 8-9-1 the next 3 years. So love
is that
for
where
me.
You are? Oh, wild.
Yeah. Saturn return in Pisces. I'm in a personal year 8 right now. So very much on the grind, getting the things done. Yeah.
Wow. I could have picked any numbers. That is wild.
And yet you picked those. So I love that. But speaking of like personal year numbers, right? What are, I guess, the main numbers in numerology? I think people are maybe familiar with like life path or perhaps destiny, but what are those main numbers that you tend to look at if you're doing a reading for someone or you're trying to really understand their path or what they're currently working through?
So the main numbers are... everything runs on 1 through 9. And then every once in a while, you get a master number, which is either an 11, a 22, or a 33. And those ultimately reduce down to 2, 4, and 6. So you can always look at that reduced number for extra clues and meaning to the master number. But everything runs on that 1 through 9 and then the master numbers. So when I do readings, I like to start with the life path. That's your entire date of birth. So day, month, plus year added together. And that gives you a real just sort of umbrella of this is what you're here to accomplish. This is what you need to do. I'm giving you these gifts, this character, right? And then all your other numbers kind of fill in the rest of your personality, your heart, what you desire. So from life path, I usually go to soul number because that's the hidden part of someone. And when you can tell someone about the parts of them that they don't show most people that are so private, you get such a deep connection, and then they're open, right? They're like, okay, she knows what she's doing. She just saw my secret self. So I go to the heart number, and that's also the one I really like to look at for love matches when people are looking for compatibility in relationships. From there, I go to the personality number most times, and that's the one that really speaks to career. And it also has gifts that will help you along in your career. Your destiny number is, sorry, and your soul number is from the vowels, your personality number is from consonants. The destiny or expression number is the one that's your entire name. And that one is sort of secondary to your life path. Some people have a destiny number that matches their life path. These are the people that find what they need to do, what they're destined for very easily. It just comes to them. They're like, oh, this is what I meant to do. And it all jives, right? The people that have their destiny and soul numbers in harmony, those are the ones that are just passionate about what they do. And they really love their work. So that's always a nice match there. From there, I look at the birthday number. Birthday numbers are probably the single easiest number to pick out in a stranger. So if you're at a party, you see people, you know, maybe they're exchanging gifts and you're like, wow, that was so thoughtful. She really thought about that. Maybe that person's a six, because six pay attention to the details. They are really good at buying thoughtful gifts, right? Maybe they
I'm like, am I a six? I forget.
You have a six life path. So
I'm a six life path. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you get them something that's more, you know, a little risque or kinky, they wouldn't necessarily buy for themselves. I'm like, that person might be a five, right? They want to have everyone explore everything, right? Or they're the ones who like giving liquor as gifts. Or, you know, I remember doing one of those gift exchanges at a curling club, Canadian curl. Anyway, and someone brought cannabis as their gift exchange. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. But those are the kinds of gifts that you'd expect from maybe a five. Fours are super practical. It's probably going to be something you can use, something you can consume or eat. So every number has their little tells. And also you can pick out people's numbers by how they look. So that's also something very interesting. From birthday number, I go to attitude. And that's where you get your personal year number, is from that attitude number. That one is day plus month. And so the day plus month, that's your attitude number. This is a bit of a first impression. This is where people are going to think they know who you are, but it's very surface level. And unless it's in harmony with what else is going on, it will probably just give you a rude awakening at sometimes if it's out of alignment, which often happens. And when you add the year to that day and month, the calendar year, that's where you get your personal year number. The last number I like to look at is the maturity number. So for anyone who's sort of, I'd say mid to late 40s, this is where people think you're having a midlife crisis. I like to call it a midlife awakening, but that is where you can end up having a complete change in attitude, in what you like, in what you wear. That number is sort of a second chapter of your life. And this is where you see a lot of people who've been happily married for 20, 30 years. All of a sudden, they're like, I need a divorce. I'm a sports car. So when that number stays in harmony with the life path, you might not even notice your midlife awakening. When it changes to something completely different that's not represented anywhere else in your chart, this is where you see someone and they just reinvent themselves entirely. So then I look at karmic debt, karmic lessons, which are two different things, but it can go deep.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for breaking that down and giving examples as well, because again, I feel like we've only kind of seen the very, very, very tip of the iceberg. Because I think at the very beginning, when I first discovered numerology, I heard about life path number. And then it was like, okay, well, I'm a life path six. Like, let's dive down that rabbit hole. But every other, I guess, piece isn't as talked about, but it's so important to really look at all the pieces of this in order to create a very holistic understanding of self. Because it's sort of like, and I can liken it to when people discover astrology and they're like, well, for me, they're like, okay, you're a Taurus. So Tauruses are like this. And it's like, okay, but that's my sun sign. Let's look at rising. Let's look at moon. Let's look at Venus to really get a comprehensive understanding of who I am and maybe how I'll show up in certain situations. So really love that, like, you gave us kind of a breakdown of all those numbers. And I wanted to specifically zone in on personal year number, which I know we'll end up talking about at our summit later this year, information coming soon. But I would love to dive into that, because I feel like that one is a really cool one in of itself, because it really encompasses the current year that we're in. So can you tell us a bit about how we can use our personal year numbers to really understand what any particular year has in store for us?
Yeah, it absolutely is one of the most magical parts of numerology, because it really can give you direction. It can help you step into the flow. It helps you make the right moves at the right time, when to focus on self-care, when to, you know, make big moves, when to lay low. It truly can give you some fabulous direction. So how you find that number is, this is the one where you take your birthday and month and you add it to the calendar year. So for you, can we say your birthday? May 14th.
Oh, yeah.
In case anyone wants to send a gift to Deandra.
May Hello. 14th.
And we're adding,
Bali.
We're adding that to the collective year, which this year is a 7. So 2023 adds up to 7. So May 14 reduces to a 5. So 1 plus 4. We're always reducing numbers till we hit a single digit. So 5 plus 5 is 10. 1 plus 0 is 1. So you have a 1 attitude number, and we're adding that to the collective year, 2023. So that's where you end up in an 8 personal year. So if everyone can easily find that number for themselves.
Yes. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for the example. Again, come to Bali next year as my birthday gift. Thank you very much. But I really want us to kind of dive into an even deeper understanding of this put into action. And I think I'm a little bit selfish here, because I, again, know that you mentioned personal year 8 on your website as when you actually started your business. And as I am in such personal year, I really want to hear more about this. So what did your personal year, I guess we could dive into 8 or even this current year for you, and maybe you could share what number you're in, but like, how did that actually show up in your life? Like, what unfolded, I guess? And you can share, I guess, the story for that particular year, perhaps any year that you found to be incredibly pivotal, and what specific number we were dealing with for that year.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
So I have now been through almost, I'm on my 3rd cycle of the numbers, living with numerology, not necessarily as a professional numerologist, but I had the knowledge before I turned pro. So it's, I still learn new things every time I go through a new cycle, but it's absolutely amazing. So right now I'm actually in a 9, but I can tell you something significant from every year that happens in your 9 cycle. So we can start it. Do you want to start at 1 or start at 8?
Oh my God, let's do it. Let's start at 1. Let's go through the cycle.
Okay. So 1 personal year. So these are people that are recovering, I want to say. 9 years are sometimes very rough. They have rewards, but they can be, there's a lot of goodbyes, there's a lot of letting go. And for a lot of people, that's difficult because it creates change and shift. But what you really want to do is create space for that 1 year for your new beginnings. So in a 1 year, also a great time to start a business. But I would say after March. I wouldn't want to start a business in that 1-2 cycle of January, February. So 1 personal year, it wants you to begin. It wants you to start. If you did not let go of everything you were urged to in your 9 year, the universe does not negotiate. It will now rip it away from you.
Okay. Oh my.
The first part of your 1 year can still be a little bit jarring. If you've created space, you can now just wait for your new blessings to come in. 1 is a number that, like I said, wants you to begin. And anything you can really dream of or manifest, now's the time. You start, you take action. So in a 9 year, you're laying low. In your 1 year, your go time, right? You're passing go, you're collecting $200, you are ready to make some big moves. Then we break it all down by month, but that's a whole different thing. In your 2 year, it's about meeting the right people that can forward your dreams. It's about relationships, partnerships. When I say relationships, it's about all relationships. So everyone goes to romantic right away. Absolutely, that's part of it. But you're also going to meet business partners. You're going to have relations with your family in 2 years specifically. So anyone with a 4 attitude right now in 2023, they are in an 11-2 year because you're adding 7 from the universal year to 4. When you hit master number years, there's always destined events, okay? So if you think of the 11 as 2 1s coming together, those 2 1s can also go apart. So sometimes people are expanding their family. They're having a baby. Sometimes they're getting married. Sometimes they lose a parent or someone very close to them. So there's always 2 sides to every number. There's a high vibration and a low vibration, but that 2 is sort of a cooperative year. You don't want to really force things. You want to flow. You want to be patient. 2 years will always teach you about having patience. But your 2 year, in your 1 year, you wanted to start. Your 2 year, you're being diligent. You're taking advantage of opportunities as they arise, and you're meeting the right people to help you forward your dreams. And three personal years are wild. So 3 is a very social number. If you were thinking about doing any networking, if there's anything you want to expand, 3 energy, super expansive. It's also very lucky. And in a 3 year before pandemic, I used to always say, this is your year of yes. Accept every invitation you get and meet the people the universe wants to put in your path so you can further those relationships and grow everything. Then that felt sort of irresponsible during pandemic. So I toned it down a bit. But I think we're free to move around and accept invites now and do everything. A lot of times there's a few degrees of separation. And so you might meet, let's say, someone's brother and you end up working for their sister, right? Or you, that kind of thing. Or you have a friend who introduces you to their coworker and you end up, you know, starting a business with that coworker down the line. So it's not always immediate. You may not even recognize when it's happening, but there's always that little degree of separation. And I have had a couple clients who have taken this beyond literal from me, and she accepted every invitation she got. She now has an amazing ambassadorship with a huge company. She started her own company. She met some amazing high profile women, and she is doing it. But all those doors opened for her with the people she met under her 3 energy. So you want to make sure you're not hermiting, sitting at home, not going anywhere. Okay. It's a social time. Meet the people you need to. 3 years can also be highly, highly emotional. 3s are really expressive. And when I say emotional, I'm not just talking about crying. I'm talking about all of the emotions. So you're going to be sad. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be angry. You're going to have moments where your temper is tested. So you want to make sure that you have a creative outlet. 3 years, a lot of creative energy. When you have that outlet, you have better control over your emotions. So once the energy is present, it just wants out. And if you don't give it a creative outlet to express itself, it comes out through speeding tickets. It comes out through rage. It comes out in many unwelcomed, you know, it's easier to get a coloring book than, you know, suppress your creative energy. Okay. 4 personal years, if you just randomly pick up a couple numerology books, a lot of them will scare you about your 4 year and tell you how much hard work you're in for. I disagree to a certain extent. It's not a time to, you know, slack off. But at the same time, my 4 years, my last couple of 4 cycles have had the most amazing opportunities. And so 4 energy is really foundational. It's about getting organized. It's about putting your systems in place, making sure everything's running like a well-oiled machine. And it sets that solid foundation to move forward. If you're in a 22-4 year, that's the master builder, the master visionary, and they think big. They're really concerned with the legacy. And so four is the time to really hone in on your policies, your procedures, getting everything, you know, taken care of and becoming that well-oiled machine. Four energy also sometimes holds health issues. If you know any fours, these are the people a lot of times who are here. You might just make sure you're taking care of your medical stuff, take care of your annuals, do your checks, do your thing, but it doesn't mean you're going to have a four, you're going to have a medical problem. A lot of times you're being a support system to someone who is in the medical system. So maybe you're taking a parent to a lot of appointments. Maybe you have a child who's trying to get diagnosed with something. Maybe it's a spouse. So just pay attention to that kind of thing, but don't turn it into a self-fulfilling prophecy that like, oh, I'm in a 4 year. I'm just waiting to get sick. Absolutely not. Don't go there, but be prepared. Okay. Five energy is the great game changer. Under five energy, anything is possible. Expect the unexpected. It rules shift, movement, change. Great time to take a vacation. Also pay attention to who you're meeting, networking. Five energy demands a little bit of excitement. And so you want to make sure that you are opening yourself up to a different way of doing things, opening yourself up to possibilities. At a low vibration, five energy is chaotic and dramatic. And you're asking for personal examples. When I was in my 5 year of my 5 month, which everybody has a double dose of whatever energy they're working every September. And so it was the first week of September. My iPhone fell in the pool. My neighbor had a fatal accident. He fell off a ladder. That was extremely dramatic. I had all electrical fire in my house. It was like, I was like, five, I hear you. I hear you. But what it tells you is that I'm in control of my reaction. Oh my God. That's all I control, right? You can't control everything going around you. So when, you know, there was this chaos, little electrical fire, I was just so grateful that I smelt it and I dealt with it and caught it right away. And it, you know, it didn't become a big thing. I dove in with all my clothes after my iPhone. I got it before it hit the bottom of the pool. My lifeguard training kicked in and I saved.
Yeah.
Got the diaper, basically saved the iPhone. And then, yeah, the widow of the neighbor who had the accident, she called me because it was a bird.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
She's like, come help me catch this bird. And I'm like,
love that. Yeah.
You call to catch live animals, but I animal whispered the bird, and you know, I felt like Snow White, and I was able to help her.
Oh my
gosh. It's about your reaction. So anyone in five energy, get ready for change. People hit their 5 year, they want a new house, a new car, a new job, a new husband. They really tend to sometimes blow it up, but change is always for the better. So you just need to embrace it and go with it. Okay. Six energy. I got married in the 6 year. Six rules love. It rules marriage, divorce, death, rules your pets, your house. So all of those things come front and center when you hit your 6 year. And when you drill down to the months, I got married in May, which was an 11-2 month for me. And that, I mean, obviously I'm a numerologist. I picked a fabulous wedding date. When December came around, which was a 9 month for me, I lost my beloved pet. And so, you know, it was the best and worst year of my life in many ways. So that's the kind of stuff you can look forward to in a 6 year. So lots of highs and lows, but six also rules beauty. So if you're thinking you want, you know, to update your look or do a little this or that, it's a good time. Yeah. And six energy is very nurturing. So you always will have a chance to show someone compassion and be there, take care of them. Seven is your year where you get to just exhale. Like, I'm so tired, right? Seven's about self-care. It really will force you into self-care. So if you are not finding balance in your life and taking time to really nurture yourself, this is where you'll see something pop up where the universe goes, oh, here, have a broken leg. You need to sit down for 4 weeks, right? It can be, but if you're not getting, like I always say, you get a flick, fine. You ignore it, you get the slap,
And oh my gosh, that, dramatic.
Wait for the spiritual 2x4 to knock you right out, or you can pay attention to the earlier signs. So, but really self-care and meditation is really good for 7 energy for that year. Being around water, getting into nature.
Yeah.
And it really wants you to establish yourself as the expert. And that is actually my 7 year, because I started my business in that 8 year. My 7 year is where I went deep. I devoured anything I could find on numerology. I found myself a mentor. I was all in at that point. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention to what the universe is putting in front of you and, you know, really diving in. But 7 energy, like I said, it rules metaphysics. It's very connected to nature. And so a lot of people I see have their dark night of the soul in a 7 year as well, where they have that spiritual awakening. 8 energy is probably one of the most misunderstood. It's, you know, everyone says 8, oh, 8's money. It can be. So in an 8 year, you can go bankrupt. You can win the lottery. It can be either. Okay. It could be both. So if you think of the 8, how it's just infinite and it chases its tail, you could just go round and round and round.
Love
that. You can
put
a dollar sign right over it. It absolutely rules finance. But setting a goal in an 8 year that this is the year that you're going to save tons of money or really get ahead financially, I have rarely, if ever, seen that really materialize. 8 years about finding balance. It rules business. So if you have a business idea, you definitely want to start it, you know, under that 8 energy, because if you wait till your 9 year, it will be too late. We'll talk about that in a second. But under that 8 energy, it really wants you to find balance. The 8 can't, do you know what I mean, really sustain itself without that. It's also where karma finds balance. And so Martha Stewart is always my favorite example of an 8. She, you know, got stubborn, said she was innocent, pled innocent to her insider trading charges, learned the hard way, chasing your tail, right? Learns the hard way, goes to jail, gets to jail, makes friends with the inmates, teaches them how to bake cupcakes, teaches them how to sew, gets out of jail, gets her entire fortune back, and was just, you know, the oldest model ever on the cover of Sports Illustrated, looking smoking at 81. So the only thing to remember about 8 is there are always, always possibilities of complete and total reversals and transformation. So you can go bottom to top very quickly. You can also go top to bottom, kind of like snakes and ladders. So in an 8 year, like I said, karma is going to find balance. That sometimes scares people. But if you're a good person, you have nothing to worry about. If you're shady, buckle up. Okay. But there's usually an output of cash at some point in an 8 year, whether it's buying yourself a new car or the tax collector finally catches up with you or something else. But there's always money coming in, and sometimes from unexpected sources. So it's a bit of a revolving door with your finances. Okay. 9 year. We're at the end of the cycle. 9 is, again, just you got to clean house. Get rid of anything you don't need, whatever's not working. This includes people and things. Okay. I always say there's 3 types of clutter. You've got emotional clutter, you have physical clutter, and then there's digital clutter. And so in a 9 year, you really want to just pare down and, you know, do I need this? Get rid of it if you don't. Make space. And sometimes it's easier for people to let go if they really think, like, I need to release this for something to come in. So that's the most important thing to do in a 9 year. It would be very rare for me to see a client that didn't have a relationship fall apart. And a lot of times it's long-term friends, you know, like they've been friends for 20 years and all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, that's over. So if the universe wants it, let it have it. Let it take it. It doesn't negotiate. It's up to you. Do you want to release it with dignity? Do you want to have it ripped out of your, you know, bloody fingernails from digging in? right? So you can release it with grace, just bless it, move on. And I've got lots of tools on release and forgiveness. And I spend a lot of time talking to people in 9 years about all the real letting go. Super important. Now, 9 years do not favor beginnings. And that is why when we talked briefly the other day, I said, you're in your 8 year. If there is something you want to start or initiate, do it now. Okay. Under 9 energy, if you start, you almost want to treat it a bit like a Mercury retrograde. It's a time for research. It's time for preparedness. It's not the time to get really excited and launch something brand new. And I've seen multiple, I do a lot of IVF dating for clients. And under a 9 year, it is probably the most common time that I see someone with miscarriages. People that get married under 9 energy, those tend to be short-lived. It's important to know your numbers when you're making big life decisions. You need all the stars aligning for you.
Yeah. So 9 energy, it's sort of like you're saying, if you start something at an 8, you can continue it in the 9, but it's sort of like, you know, if you're thinking, again, the launch or even like a new job or again, like getting married, like avoid that 9.
Yeah. So if you do end up starting a new job in a 9 year, what I see happen a lot of times is it's a bridge to something better. So you're letting go of your old job, or you get fired, or it gets taken away from you for whatever reason. The next job you get, if you start under 9 energy, it doesn't tend to be a real long-lasting career, but it does end up being a bridge to something that gets you to really where you wanted to go.
Yeah, that makes
sense. When I say, you know, treat it like a Mercury retrograde, it's a chance to revise your plans. Like if you start your business in your 8, see what's working, see what's not, you know, do the research, figure out what you need to do. All those fabulous RE words.
Yeah. Tweak all the things. Reinvestigate. That's not a word, but we're going to make it a word.
Make one. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, as you were talking, when you were specifically speaking about the 4, I was thinking about the other day when I just literally was seeing 444 everywhere. It was like haunting me. And I mean, haunting seems kind of bad. I actually really enjoyed seeing this number. And I made a post about it on Instagram as well. And I said, you know, it was a lot of similar things that you mentioned where, you know, it's about foundations and kind of putting systems in place. Because the times I was seeing 444, I was either on the phone with an accountant trying to get set up, or I was on the phone with my lawyer trying to like set up the LLC, like all these very, very foundational things. And so I'm really curious, like everything that you just described about the personal year numbers, are we able to kind of almost like translate that into the repetitive angel numbers? So for example, is 888 kind of a symbol of, I don't know, thing karma, right? Maybe you're seeing 888 because something karmic is about to happen or unfold, or 444 and the stability. Is that kind of how you would look at angel numbers?
I do to a certain extent. So angel numbers are another one of these things where I see memes all the time and I'm like, well, that's an interesting take, or no, I do not agree. A lot of them are channeled, and you know, if you're going to channel something, I want to see the numbers of the person who thinks they're channeling. I want to see if that's one of the gifts that comes down through their profile. There's a number for that, right? So you really need to look at where your information is coming from. So yeah, you can, every number has an energy. And for sure, when you're talking about 4s are foundational. It's sort of the original angel number is that 444. But what I also look at is what the total is. So 444 comes to a 12, which ends up being a 3. 3 is that emotional energy, right? And I always think of 444 as like a hug from your angels, right? A hug from departed loved ones, that they're there for you and they're asking you to ask them to help. They can't interfere unless you invite them. So you.
Yeah. Oh my God. So that's such a good point. And I've been really trying to remind everyone of that, because I recently have been like saying that prayer of, if this person's not supposed to be in my life, like please remove them if they're going to hinder my path in any way. And let me tell you, that one works quickly. Okay. snatched. They're removed. They are removed. I think a lot of times we'll sit there and kind of have these moments where we feel like, oh, like so alone, or we're like, oh my God, you know, why aren't my angels or my guides kind of interfering? And it's like, well, have you asked? Have you actually like contemplated asking for clarity on the situation, or asking for strength to deal with whatever it is? Like all of that, because that's kind of where I've been at lately, is just like when I'm in a situation, I'm like, listen, this is out of my hands. I need strength. I need help.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a strong proponent for morning pages. I don't know if you're familiar with morning pages or your friends, but it's Julia Cameron's book. She knows a thing or two about being creative. She was married to Martin Scorsese, so she knows about that too, about being married to a creative. But her book, that practice of morning pages, it checks off so many boxes for me. So, you know, you clear your mind from whatever happened in your sleep and you were processing, and who knows what goes on when we're, you know, in that subconscious state. Clear your mind. I invite my guides and angels and my entire spirit team. They're, you know, unseen forces working in my favor, departed loved ones, anyone I think of that I want to invite to help me through my day. And I say, I welcome and I accept your help, your inspiration, your interference, whatever it is. And then at the end of my morning pages, I'm always like, thank you in advance for a magical day, right? So when you do, you know, but I just made it, I do it every day, and you know, your life begins to flow. It does get magical.
Yeah, no, I think that's so beautiful. And I definitely want to start to incorporate that into my days, just because I feel like, as you know, when you get into space of asking for that help, and then you start to recognize when it is divine intervention, you start to, at least in my case, I feel like I start to let go more of this chokehold on the control of the outcome, because I know it's that co-creationship, right? It's like, it's not just me. I'm not just here fighting all the things by myself. And you start to recognize that like there can be flow, and when things are coming in or going out, you can recognize that it's for your greater good. So I love that. I'm gonna like start to use that. Yeah. And then you said there was a book as well. What is the book called?
It's The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And I think it just had it's like 25th or 30th anniversary. She's got a new book coming out that's sort of a revision, I think, of it. But it's, if you just Google morning pages, I mean, it'll all come up. But she also says that if you do this practice, that something magical will happen 4 to 6 weeks in. And I started doing morning pages in the spring of 2019, and very like, it was nothing short of magical. About 5 weeks in, I got an email from my publisher out of nowhere saying, hi, we're looking for a numerologist to write a book for us.
Wow.
And I was thinking about writing a book. I'd put it on my new moon wish list. I had, you know, definitely thought about it, but that was pretty magical. So
that is absolutely amazing. And as soon as you said that name, I recognized it, because in grad school, I took a class where the professor taught us all about creativity, and we literally did morning pages and used this book. Like, this was kind of one of the textbooks. And it's so crazy how like everything comes back around, because at the time, I remember being like, what is this class? Like, because all my other classes were like, you know, on advertising or marketing or like behavioral economics. And here was this one class that I had to take that was about creativity. And that was, it ended up being my favorite class. But yeah, like I'm going to revisit that book, because again, don't find it a coincidence that it's coming up in our conversation.
Well, that's, you know, the flick, the slap.
Here it is.
Like, perhaps this is your gun.
Here it is.
Get back to your morning.
Yeah. Well, I know that we're kind of like getting to the end of our chat, and this has been amazing. Do you have a little extra time for us to dive into a couple more questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, amazing. Well, I want to know how you personally implement numerology in your day-to-day life, because it seems like you're using it to help guide a lot of those major decisions, but how are you using it for like the mundane, if you will, like the little details in your day-to-day?
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I drill down right to my personal day, and I actually have calendars on my website so people can do this for themselves. When you don't have a real structured job or lifestyle, it's really nice to be able to look at the calendar and go, what day am I, what energy am I working with today? And I use all of those energies for my benefit. So for example, today is a one day, and hopefully this is a start of a beautiful relationship, right? But it's not the beginning.
Yes, right? Yes it is.
Yeah. So on my one day, I'll initiate action. I'll do something for the first time. I'll start something new. And that has all the energy behind it to support me in terms of a beginning, right? On 2 days, no, I really take care of my relationship. Maybe I make my husband a special meal. Maybe we have a date night. It's important to take care of your relationships, right? On a 3 day, that's sort of a networking, fun, social day. So if I was going to have a party or I had to go to a birthday party, do I want to go to this birthday party? Well, it's a 3 day, so there's probably someone there you're supposed to meet. Okay, I'll go, right? So it can guide you in that way. 3 is also super creative. Maybe that's the day I'm going to work on, you know, some blogs or, you know, checking out some emails, revising things. Maybe I use it as a writing day. 4 days is when you want to pay your bills, take care of details, organize. I cannot tell you how amazing organizing on a 4 day. I can accomplish more in a couple hours than I can in like 2 or 3 days on a 4 day. It's crazy. But the energy is going to help you. Or cleaning. 4 is like everything to be clean too. So that helps. But 5 days, little adventure, right? What do you want to do? Something different. Think outside of the box. Try something you haven't done before, right? Whether it's going to, you know, a restaurant you've never been to or cooking a meal that is out of your comfort zone. You know, 5 days are for adventure and new. They're also very good for social and parties. It's also a great day for promoting yourself. So if there was, you know, maybe that's a day I'm going to send out my newsletter. It's, you know, that 5 day is really good for that self-promotion as well. 6 days, family, pets, right? Your home, beautification. I usually get my hair cut on 6 day.
So. Oh, I love that.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah. And I've actually, I'll go shop if I need an outfit or I'm looking for something, but I'll do it on a 6 day because it rules beauty. And 6s are also really good at getting good deals. You know this, your life has 6.
Okay.
You're like,
I mean, do I get the deals? I mean, you know what? Now that I think about it, I really do.
You take the time and look for that coupon code. You're getting free shipping. You're doing it.
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
I do.
6s are exceptional at finding that deal. Okay. 7 days are sort of a lay low. Get into nature. Make sure you take time to meditate, connect to your crystals, you know, just, and also that establishing yourself as the expert, right? So I use 7 energy. I don't put a lot of pressure on myself. Maybe it's a day you decide to go to yoga. Maybe it's, you know, it's self-care, book a massage. Right? 8 days have been some of my most profound.
Wow. So okay.
I use 8 days to call customer service if I need to.
Oh my gosh. It's giving karma.
If I'm looking for a reversal in something, or if I needed to return something or exchange something, I would do that on an 8-day. Mm-hmm. So first thing I always do, you have to make a customer service call or something, I'll always set the intention before I dial the number that the most amazing, high vibing, totally, you know, fabulous person is going to be the agent on the other end of that phone. Okay. So I always set that intention first. And then I, you know, deal with whatever it is I need to. So I give you an example. I had an area rug I had ordered and it arrived.
Oh my gosh.
On a 5-day, got delivered to my neighbor's house, not mine. Okay. On my 6th day, he phoned me and said, I have an area rug here. It's your name's on it. Okay, thanks. Go get my area rug a 6th day. Okay. Gave it a moment to do all the off gassing, whatever, unpack it. And I noticed one side of it is kind of a little bit crooked. Like it wasn't cut straight. And I went, that's not cool. So on my 8th day, I called and set my intention that I was going to get someone fabulous, wanted some pictures, sent some pictures. My dog happened to be sitting next to the rug. You know, he's like 5 pounds, super cute. Had a lovely conversation about little white fluffy dogs. Anyway, he goes, what do you want? And I said, I can deal with it, but I don't want to pay full price for it. And he said, I agree. And I said, it's going to cost you like $100 to get this back to you. And he goes, I totally agree. He goes, hang on. Comes back to the phone and he goes, okay, it's taken care of. And I said, I don't know what that means. And he said, check your email. He gave me a 100% refund, told me to keep the rug.
Yes.
And to have a lovely day.
Oh my God, I love that. So
I've had actually really good success at dealing with companies on 8 days.
Yeah.
So rule of business, you can get those reversals, you know, and it's a good sales day. So if I'm going to announce, you know, a coupon code or something, I'll do that on an 8-day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh my God.
So nine days I use for forgiveness. I use for letting go. I will take something to, you know, the Goodwill box you have that you've been collecting over time. I'll drop it off. I'll get it out of the house. But 9 days, you know, there's a real humanitarian component to them. So anything selfish tends to backfire on a 9-day, but being generous with your time, being, you know, just in tune, having that meditation, that letting go, that's what you want to do on a 9-day.
Yeah. I love that. And I'm going to have to, first of all, link that calendar down below for everyone, because I feel like this is something, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about like cycle syncing, or even people will kind of like do things around like the new moon versus the full moon or all of that kind of stuff. And I think I've always loved like the cycle syncing information, but I think taking another kind of lens to this and being like, okay, let's sync things to numbers as well. And I wonder, like, does there ever tend to be like a lineup with someone's cycle? Do you notice that? Like, if there's, because would there be?
It's truly magical. So what I like to do is look, I pay attention to all the new moons and full moons. And I actually have a new moon, full moon calendar on my website that you can download that just gives you the major retrogrades of the year and then the times and everything from the new moon and full moon phase. So I like to go, okay, what month am I in? Okay, I'm going to set a goal based on that energy, right? I'm going to base my goals around what energy I'm working this month. And then you set your intentions at the new moon and what supports them. At the full moon, you can release anything that falls under that energy that's not working. Mm. So it really gives you a little bit of structure. A lot of times people just keep wishing for the same things over and over again, and they're in a little bit of a spiritual rut, right? And so if numerology is always moving, it will help you evolve. Right. And really, isn't that the goal? We're all here for soul evolution. That's what we want.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I love that, especially like adding the moon cycles into it. I was specifically talking about menstrual cycles. If
No,
I also mentioned moon in there as well. So I kind of talked about like three different things at once. But no, I was talking about when people talk about like syncing their life up with their menstrual cycle. So it's kind of like, okay, during your cycle, you're more in like that restful state. And then perhaps like, I think it's like, you know, when you're going through ovulation, you have more of that energy, like how they'll do that sort of syncing with their cycle. So I was just wondering if you ever notice any sort of, because I don't know if there would be an overlap, right? Because the days are always going to depend on the year, aren't they?
Yeah, it's always going to, I mean, something like that just keeps moving and evolving, right?
Okay.
But what it can do is, wow, I'm really, you know, aggressive today, or I'm on fire. What is wrong with me? You go to your calendar and you go, oh, I'm having a one day. I need to tone it down, right? Or you're like, why am I crying and laughing the next minute? What is happening to me? Oh, you're in a three.
Am
day.
I unwell?
You're having all right. So
yeah,
I do notice that it can impact your weight as well. Like on a 3 day, people tend to weigh more than they do on, let's say,
a
9 day or 7 day. Yeah. So it does impact you, but that type is sort of a moving target, but you can definitely look why you're feeling a certain way. It helps you understand your emotions and develop way better self-awareness, which is so important. If you have self-awareness, you can have emotional maturity. And if you have emotional maturity, you can have vulnerability. And they're just so, so important in, you know, keeping high vibe relationships.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I feel like even just talking about the calendar and sort of that breakdown of the days, I'm very excited to do that with my own days and kind of like tap into that energy. Yeah, like I'm very excited to do that and just kind of see what's going on, especially because when we had the conversation the other day and the recognition of this being like a 6 month for me and then the self-care next month, and I was just like, oh, that makes sense, because even before I'm there yet, I know it's going to make sense. But I know there are probably so many that you can list, but what is one of your favorite things about numerology? I'm curious.
It's just so magical. It truly is. When you get into it, it has saved me from toxic people. It has realigned me when I've, you know, thought something was a good idea, taken a beat and realized maybe I need to reevaluate this or my timing's off. For example, this year, I'm in a 9 year and I've been approached to start all sorts of things. And I'm just saying, you know what? That's super interesting. Let's talk about it. Let's research it. What would it look like? Where, you know, some of these things are pretty exciting. I maybe would, you know, jump at it or be impulsive if I was in a one. So you always have to look at sort of, how is this guiding me? How can this help me? So the timing, what it tells me about timing, is probably my most useful and favorite. But I also love doing compatibility. I love looking at, you know, I love being able to help someone conceive that's been struggling. I love being able to, you know, open up a whole new idea for career to people that they hadn't maybe thought about. I just love it. It's amazing. I don't know if I answered your question.
Oh my God, no, you definitely did. And
I'm just gushing over numerology.
No, you definitely did. And I was just sitting here thinking, like, obviously we're going to have you come back, because there are so many things that we didn't really have a chance to go into, like, you know, as you were going into there, like the compatibility, because I know that that was a question that we had, just like even compatibility or thinking about career, purpose, you know, some of these bigger life decisions and life questions. And I've alluded to it a couple of times here. It's not obviously announced yet, but we're having a virtual summit at the end of this year, December 9th, put it on your calendar. And Joy will be at the summit speaking about numerology and how to kind of understand what's coming up in your next personal year. So I am super excited for that. And then maybe, you know, we'll have a couple of, you know, questions about compatibility or love, but you'll be able to ask some of these questions. And of course, like I said, we'll have you come back and just chat more about all of the stuff we didn't get to today. But in the meantime, I'll have all the links down below, but I'd love to give you an opportunity to just sort of give us the information about where we can find you online and what you're manifesting for the rest of this year.
I can be found at joyofnumerology.com, at joyofnumerology on Instagram or Facebook. What am I manifesting for the rest of this year? I'm in a 9 year. So I am really about the release, the letting go, being open to surprises and new opportunities. 9 years also hold rewards. And so I have had some fun little surprises along the way, like connecting with you. So yes. That's been fabulous. But I'm really looking, doing the research and stuff right now for what I want to manifest in my 1 year. I very much follow my own advice. I have said no to so many things this year where I'm like, am I 9 year? And most of them are people who know me or their clients. So they've heard me talk about it. But yeah, I'm not making any big moves right now, but I'm definitely doing some research on what will be big moves for later.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to like chat next year so we can kind of revisit this conversation. And then actually hear about all of the things that you are manifesting and all the things that you do bring to fruition next year. So thank you again for joining me for this episode. This has been incredible, as we knew it was going to be. I've enjoyed this conversation. Like I said, all of the links for Joy will be down in the show notes so that you can check her out there. But yeah, thank you again for joining me for this episode.
It has absolutely been as fun and fabulous as I thought it would be.
Hey. I'm so happy to hear that.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hi, my love. I hope you're enjoying Manifest Daily, whether this is your second or your 22nd episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. And if you really love the show, I would appreciate it if you could do me a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It really helps the show grow and reach more listeners like yourself. And like I said, I would be super grateful for you to leave that 5-star review. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this amazing and growing podcast community. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode.